இந்த அலந்தலில்லா வசலாத் வசலாம் அலா ஷரஃபில் அம்பியா முஹம்மது ரசூலுல்லாஹி ஸல்லல்லாஹு அலைஹி வஆலிஹி வஸஹ்பி வஸல்லம் ஒமன் வலா அபாத். மை பிரதர் சிஸ்டர்ஸ், தேர் இஸ் எ வெரி டியர் ஃப்ரெண்ட் ஆஃப் மைன் இன் ஜெர்மனி கால் ஃப்ரிடோலின் ஸ்டாரி. தி ரீசன் ஐ எம் டெல்லிங் ஹிஸ் நேம் இஸ் பிகாஸ் ஐ வாண்ட் யூ டு மேக் துஆ ஃபார் ஹிம். ஃப்ரிடோலின் அண்ட் ஐ ஃபர்ஸ்ட் மெட் இன் கயானா In 1981. So he is a friend of mine from 1981, and we went trekking in the Amazonian rainforest and so on and so on, various things. And after that I lost touch with him for almost 20 years, and then I found him back. And when I found him back, he was the head of research R&D for WACA, which is one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in Europe. Fridolin retired this year after, I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 36 years of service. Fridolin is an extremely health conscious chap, extremely fit. His hobbies are cross-country skiing, and he is what is called an alpinist, which means that he treks and he does mountain climbing and rock climbing in the Alps. So the fitness level is like that of an Olympic athlete. I mean, that's the, you can't be more fit than that. And he tells me that in his entire life, he was not sick for even one day. Nothing, absolutely no sickness, even for one single day, in his whole life. Never saw the inside of a hospital, never had any surgery, nothing. After he retired, after about a month or something, he felt some, what felt like a growth under his tongue. So when it got a bit, you know, bigger and started getting uncomfortable, he went for a checkup, and they discovered that he has cancer. And that also, they did a biopsy and they found that that's an extremely malignant kind of cancer, which spreads very fast. And usually, those kinds of cancers, there is no previous symptom whatsoever. So you do not know that you have it until it gets to a stage where it is almost in stage 4, which is metastased all over the body, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's the kind of cancer. There are a couple of them, like pancreatic cancer is one, and similarly. So they said that's what he has, and what he needs is radiation. That's the only thing which will work. They did a small procedure and they removed that growth. But after that, they said he needs radiation. For that radiation, he had to have a, there were some fillings in his one or two teeth, I think there was some filling or something, so they had to extract those teeth. They make a mask, lead mask, for him to do the radiation. He's had 12 radiations until now, another 20 to go. And he is still doing gymnastics, he is still doing regular exercise. And they tell him that that's the thing to do. But he says that they also told me that you will lose your sense of taste. You will have a lot of pain in the throat. Through that process, maybe you will have to be now fed through a Ryle's tube through the nose. And all kinds of such things will happen while this radiation is going on. And then hopefully the health will recover and so on and so forth. So he tells me, he lives about 2 hours from Munich, so he drives to Munich every day and comes back, but he says, I'm going to lose that ability also after some time. I will have to take public transport, I mean, go by train, or I will have to stay in Munich itself and, go to the oncology clinic for this X-rays. He has a wife and two sons. So I said, don't they take you to the hospital and so on? He said, no, in our culture, we believe in treating the person as if he is completely normal until he actually needs physical help. So, I mean, they are with me in the sense of, you know, empathy and so on and so on. But we deliberately do not start treating a person like he is ill from day one. That's good. I mean, that has its own logic behind it. So he writes to me very regularly. So yesterday he sent me a mail. He said that one of the things I have discovered in this oncology clinic, he said, is that one, that there are people here. He said, I am undergoing treatment with a good hope. And hope meaning not just hope as in I hope to, but I mean meaning medically, medical assessment. It's a good hope of having a cure and being able to live for a few years. He said, but there are many people here who are undergoing treatment, but there's no hope. They know that there's no hope. I mean, they know that this is not going to help them. But they're undergoing. So he said, I'm lucky, I'm very lucky that I'm fortunate that at least I have this hope. Secondly, he says that the people in that clinic who come, the patients, he said, all of these people are people who are wealthy, they were powerful people, they were at the top of their careers, in many cases, you know, people who are millionaires. But now, they have only one priority in life, which is to try to get cured so that they can live for a couple of years more. He said, none of the other things, you know, maybe they would look at, you know, what kind of antiques can I buy, and what kind of holidays can I go to, and, you know, which kind of cars and planes, and some of those people are, we talk about cars because we are at that level, car level. There are people who don't talk about cars because they're not at car level. I mean, they don't buy things like even a Rolls Royce or something. You know, they're at a different level. So he says that none of that is part of any conversation. There would have been a time when all of this would have been part of conversation. But he says here, none of that is. The only thing the conversation is about is the cure for cancer. Right? How can I get cured? What can happen to me? How can the priorities change? The reason I am giving you this long story is because, first of all, because I want you to please make dua for this man. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being, absolutely gem of a character, a man of great character, compassion. He does a lot of social work in Africa and various places. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give him complete shifa, kamila, ajila, completely take away his cancer, completely cure him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his khudrat and by his great names and attributes and by his ismul azam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as badiu samawati wal ard wa fatiru samawati wal ard wa khaliqu samawati wal ard wa razzaqu dhul quwwati al matin, that he should completely and totally cure Fridolin, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him hidayat and lead him to Islam inshaAllah. So that is one reason. The other reason that I am saying this is to remind myself and you. I remember I did a khutbah once in our masjid, and I began by the khutbah by saying that I have some news, something that I realized this morning, and that is that I am going to die. So a lot of my friends were very shocked, and then after the khutbah they refused to believe that. I'll tell you what I said in the khutbah, but then they came to me, no, tell me really, what is it? Judge Sahib, no, you have to tell me, what is it? So I said, I realize that I am going to die. He said, nani, aisa kaisa hota? Now, he's saying it out of love, but my point is, I realized that somebody who has cancer, there is a doctor who tells him that you have this cancer, and from whatever we know, understand and know about this cancer, you have, you know, maybe so many months more, or maybe you will live for 5 years or 10 years. So effectively, that person has realized that he or she will die. What I realized was that what's so new? What is so new? Anyone who is living will die. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't even tell us that, you know, you have got 6 months more or 2 years more. He said that when you are sitting in Salah and you are about to do the finish your Salah, you say Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah, turning to your right. He said, do not believe that you will be able to complete that and say Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah to your left. So where is he giving you the time? He's not telling you 2 months, 3 months, 4. He says, you don't probably do not even have 2 seconds. I recall a time I was in Jamaat in the UK, in a place called Nuneaton. So some local brothers, they said that yesterday there was a janaza, one of our brothers Musallis from Masjid passed away, so we are going to his brother's house for Taziyat to convey our condolences. Would you like to come? So we said yes. So myself and two others with us, we went to this house. So this is the elder brother of the man who passed away. The man who passed away was like 40, 41. We said, what happened to him? Was he ill? Was he sick? He said, kuch nahi. Bilkul theek tha. He said, nothing. He's absolutely fine. He was a taxi driver. So he says, this brother tells us, he says his normal routine was, he would come home for lunch. He says, their mother used to live with them. This Jap had no children, he and his wife, and the mother used to live with them. So he said that my brother would come, he would park the car, he would come into the house, and the mother and the son would sit opposite each other on the dastarkhan, on the sofra table, and his wife would make parathas. She would make, you know, hot parathas, which she would bring and give serve them, and they would eat. So he said, yesterday also the same thing happened. My brother came, they were eating, my mother and my brother, my sister-in-law was bringing the chapatis, the parathas. He said, my brother took a piece of this paratha and he dipped it in the curry and he kept on dipping it in the curry and turning it one way and the other way and the other way. His name was Javed. He said, my mother says, Javed, ye roti se kyun khel raha hai? His mother says, Javed, why are you playing with the roti? Eat it. He said, Ma, meri jaan nikal rahi hai. He says, my mother, I am dying. And he died. He just died. And this happened the previous day. The person who told me is the elder brother. He tells his son there, he said, wo palate to lao. He said, bring the plate. They kept that plate with the curry and with that roti. They showed us the plate. That piece of roti which had been already broken to eat. And the rest of the roti and the curry was on this plate. We saw the plate. Absolutely nothing wrong with the man. He was a hale and hearty guy in his 40, 41 years old. Nothing wrong with him. He died. So my point is, you do not have to have, some malignant form of cancer to die. You die, I die, we all die. The question is, like my friend says, when these people in this cancer clinic, when they have realized, the doctor tells them that you are going to die, he said, our entire priority in life has changed. Totally. He says, our life is not the same as it was. We lived one way for 40 years. From this date, our life is completely and totally different. We've got only this one priority, that I must get this cured. And you know that for a lot of them, there is no cure. Despite that, the whole... And then now, obviously, those people who are thinking about the cure, he says, then they're further on the priority now is to say, you know, what are my assets, what's my will, what am I going to do? The issue is that people we are talking about there are people who are not Muslim. They are only focused on the dunya. So even when they know they're going to die, their focus is still on the dunya, on this world, to say, in this world, you know, who will get my wealth and who, what should I do and so on. But my point is, the doctor tells him he's going to die. The reality also is that even though there is no cure for cancer, we also know that cancer is, it's possible for cancer to go into complete remission and disappear as if it simply was never there. There's a friend of mine in Hyderabad who lives right in Banjara Hills. His wife had cancer. I'm talking about now the 70s. His wife had cancer in the 70s. I think maybe it was 79 or 80 or some such thing. She had cancer. They tried all kinds of cures. They took her to Houston. They tried all sorts of cures there. Absolutely nothing worked. And they said to them, this is stage 4. It's spread all over the body. There's nothing can be done. You can take her home. So they took her home. Then somebody told them that there is this nature cure clinic in Mexico. And they feed you carrot juice or something like this. So, I mean, they are at a stage where, you know, they are willing to do anything. So they went off to Mexico. And this lady was on this carrot juice for some time. And the cancer completely vanished. Now, they came back to Houston. They registered in the hospital. They took all the tests and so on. So they said, why did you bring her? She's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. So they said, no, hold on a second. This is your hospital. These are the reports of this lady. The doctor said, I don't believe it. It's not the same woman. He said, no, it is the same woman. He said, we have no idea what happened. The husband died later on. The wife is still alive. So we also know this, that as far as cancer is concerned, this is possible for complete and total cure. Yet when we get this news that you have cancer, you are going to die, our entire priority changes. You don't say, well, you know, this may not happen to me. No, it is happening to you. I'm saying, what is the value of the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for us? Rasulullah said, do not even think that you will. Literally, there is one hadith where he said, if you put the food in your mouth, don't believe that you will be able to swallow it. And Allah is my witness. I have actually seen that in this narrated story. I have actually literally seen that in that story. As a result of that, I ask myself and I request you to ask yourself, what is the change in my life? What is the change in your life? As a result of this knowledge that I will die, how has my life changed? And if my life has not changed, and if it's the same old stuff we are doing, then we have to seriously ask ourselves this question and saying, where are we going? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to open our eyes before our eyes are opened for us and to get our lives in focus for the only priority which is worth prioritizing, which is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and to lead our lives in such a way that we and our families are people who are focused on gaining the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.